just step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 518. I am Lisa Sheps. I am joined by Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
Hello. Hey, oh, Shiro. I didn't have your microphone up. And one of these microphones worked. Anyway, and Rebecca Melanson.
Hello, hello.
You're on. You are listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby. We stream this live at koop.org. We'll be right back.
Step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh yeah.
When it is Wednesday, May 29th, 2019. On the show today, we have Penfold Theatre Company and their production of Henry V by someone named William Shakespeare. And also the Treehouse Players will be on and talk about This Is Our Youth by Kenneth Lonergan. And of course, we'll have lively discussions of the world of theatre in Austin, New York, Chicago, Boston, and Albuquerque, New Mexico. Stick with us. Okay.
Hello.
Hello. We have quite a crowd here today.
It's a party.
Rebecca Melanson, how are you?
I'm terrific.
Okay, good. I'm hearing everybody on my headphones.
Listen, she has the cabaret mic. She can't not be good.
She has.
Just don't ask me to sing.
And gentlemen, welcome. I know Ryan Crowder knows that song because I saw him sing it just a few weeks ago. Who was that singing? We had quizzed our studio audience, who I will introduce in just a moment. Who was that singing? Who did it sound like?
Was that Cher?
Sounded like Cher, didn't it? But no, it was Stephanie J. Block.
Stephanie J. Block.
From the Cher Show. And so that's what we're going to be playing, our interstitial music. There is an article by the New York Times. Not an article, it's a video. And they do this, they've done this every year for the past, this is their third year, where they, in studio, record Tony nominees.
Yes.
And so this year, I'm not as crazy about the setup this year, although I had an audience this year. Usually it's done in a studio with nothing. A small band, I'm using air quotes, piano, bass, and drums.
I think it was three pieces.
Three pieces, yep. Piano, bass, and drums. Mostly it's piano, and the bass and drums come in on occasion. And one, and I forgot which, song it was, had a conga. Bum, 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 cha! Like that.
Yes, just like that.
Just like that.
And the radio listeners saw
so
that.
So that, there is a link at offstageonair.com so that you can watch those videos. And there's seven of them. And we're going to hear bits and pieces of, I think, four or five.
Very
so
exciting.
There you go. So that was Stephanie J. Block. Now, I saw the Cher Show. She's up. We talked about this last week, so I don't really want to talk about it a lot. Has anybody else seen the Cher Show?
No.
No. I saw it in Chicago in previews. And did not like it. Did not like Stephanie J. Block, and I love Stephanie J. Block so much that last week I couldn't even remember her name.
Yeah, I know.
Who did I say she was?
I called her Sherry Renee Scott.
Yeah,
I was
Sherry
like,
Renee
yeah,
Scott.
That's like, woo, apples and oranges.
Well, it's three names, and I know that J is an initial, but to me,
like, vocally
it's J-A-Y.
And performing-wise yeah. and look-wise, but
no,
my mom was at the matinee while we had this show going on last week. She took a group of her girlfriends and surprised them. She had a ball.
No, but
you know,
people like it. Well, I'll tell you, the costumes are worth.
That's what she called. She was
the
like,
Mackie
Nick.
Costumes are beautiful, and he's in it.
So I worked at FAO Schwartz in Chicago when it opened.
I've heard of that
place in the doll department, and I got to sell the Bob Mackie Barbies.
Mm.
He made dresses just for. I sold the Madame Alexanders and the Bob Mackie Barbies.
Cool. And Rebecca Melanson, how are you?
Wonderful.
All right, awesome. Is that it? Anything else you want to share?
It's all good.
Okay.
That's all right. I'm sharing.
Good. ABA Austin. ABAAustin.org. ARP Austin. ALL Austin.
AIBA.
AIBA.org.
Actually, it's ibuyaustin.org.
Ibuyaustin.org. We're going to get there eventually. We might have been at the end of the show.
It's okay.
Well, great. Let's see.
I just like watching her with the cabaret mic. That's
true. And you know, we're going to strip it away from her right now because we have this group of people over here. We're going to give it to them. So let's introduce all the people over here. Adam Miller-Beteau.
Hello.
Am I pronouncing that correctly? Because I didn't ask you before the show.
You are.
I am. Excellent. Vivian Glazer. No, Natalie Blackman.
Yes.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, we discussed before the show how terrible I am with names and faces. Liz Fisher.
Hello.
Yeah, how are you?
I'm well, and yourself?
I can't complain, although I do. Ryan Crowder.
Hi, good to see you.
Good to see you. David Allen Barrera.
Hey.
Hey, now... Natalie Blackman, Vivian Glazier.
Vivian Glazier, hello.
Oh, these are not in order. I'm going by
memory. I can't believe you went in order because normally you just...
Jeremy Allen Cudd, how are you?
Jeremy Lee Cudd, I'm doing well.
I wrote Allen. Can you change it to Allen?
I'll work on it.
That's what I wrote. Let me see whether I have it here the right way. No, it's Allen. Sorry. You will be changing it.
So, Jay, you are Allen.
So here's the deal, folks, and congratulations for being on the show. This is the last show of our 10th season.
Wow.
So,
isn't that bananas?
So that means that we we're actually, our first show, I believe, was May 5th of 2009. This is our 518th show. We've been on the air for 10 years.
Isn't that nutty?
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Nutty.
And just for the hell of it, for just a little second, let's go back in time. And I'm going to ask Rebecca to press the number 9 on that in just a second. Let's hear the very beginning of the very first show, okay?
Fair, Catherine, and most...
Nope, sorry.
Fair.
Turn that off.
Will you vouchsafe...
Okay, that's my fault. I meant 8. Yes, I meant 8. That's my fault. Go, do it. Just do it.
Okay, honey. This show's got its star back. Lena's come home. Hit it, Joe. I'm in show business as lucky breaks. A chance to show if you've got what it takes. Give it your best and you're on your way. Let the big band play.
This is Offstage and On the Air with your host, Lisa Sheps. Offstage and On the Air looks at the Austin theater scene from a musical perspective. Each week, we'll focus on a local theater company and the musical offerings they present. Not only will you hear music from and related to the...
All right, we're just going to fade that out. She goes on forever. So we're going to stop... And that was our old theme song. And I've been meaning to say this on the show. So those of you listening, we've tried this before. I'm going to do it again, Nicole. Stop me.
I'm not.
Try not to stop me.
I don't know what you're doing, so I don't know if I should.
I'm going to do it again. I want to have a theme song contest.
Oh, yeah. What happened? Do you know how many people have promised us a theme song?
I would like people within the sound of my voice who want to do us a little theme song. We would love something of our very own.
Yes,
and
we
while
would.
We're on theme songs, the theme song we have been playing for the past 6 years or so is by Human Condition.
Yes.
And they graciously, that's the
graciously,
word.
Graciously, that's the word.
Mm-hmm. Let us use it. So we should shout out to them. We don't mention them enough, but they have some good musics.
They do have some good music.
They have some good music. So Human Condition. So that's cool. So the other thing that I need to share with everybody here is today, Wednesday, May 29th.
Sharing is caring. Lisa.
Sharing is caring. Nicole and I are going to see What's a Tune to Hint a Wrong from a House About to Hamilton.
Yeah.
We're going to see Hamilton.
I wish we had the video camera we used to have going in there because... Everyone watching
like
you
going,
do that
what is she doing?
Was phenomenal.
Okay, yeah, we're going to go see Hamilton and at the Bath Concert Hall, austin.broadway.com. They are here for 3 weeks. I think they're here for 3 weeks.
Correct.
Looking very forward to it. I'm actually looking so forward to sitting next to Nicole and seeing gauging her reaction because you're thinking maybe you're not going to like it as much as other people.
No, I'm not.
I'm just saying you're thinking.
Yeah,
but you're going in with an open mind.
Yeah, yeah. Just kind of, to me, I've always been like, yeah, it's a good show, but I've never been like, whoa.
Who's seen it? Okay. By the way, hands don't work on.
Yeah. I have.
Sorry.
Okay.
So generally speaking, do we like it?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. Okay. And me too. I'll just put my vote in there. So I mentioned this last week. I'm going to mention it again. The lottery is active. I think they're doing 20 $10 seats every day. I've already signed up and lost the first one. You're nodding. You're doing it too. Yeah. So you can get an app. You can do it online. It's if you want to see the show, I would strongly give you a suggestion of perhaps getting the app.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's two days ahead of time. Yep. So it's you're not doing when you do the lottery. It's not for that night. It's
yeah, and you every can you can do up to $10 tickets. And I believe those are front row, which I have to say, it sounds really good, but the front row is usually not a great place to sit.
But you know what? You're in the room where it happens.
You're in the room where it happens.
What are you going to do? I should mention this week, because I noticed it myself, that you should allow ample time if you are attending this week, because there are graduations taking place at 7 p.m. with a Hamilton curtain of 8.
And Bath Concert Hall now has a really strict clear bag policy.
Wait, do you see my cute what I have for tonight?
Well, the suggestion would be is when this is what I do when I go is I don't carry anything.
Oh, I have a clear bag for these situations.
Right, but there is a line for those people that don't carry anything, and it's in a much shorter, faster line. A clear bag doesn't count in that case. I have a couple of clear bags, but I go with nothing. I put stuff in pocket. Uh-oh.
You have no pockets.
I got no pockets in this outfit.
I believe you might be using my clear bag tonight, huh?
No, I have a clear bag, but I may be just changing clothes.
Uh-huh.
All right, so we
I just wanted the parking, because I just went, oh, shazam, when I saw
Shazam.
That.
I'm glad you said shazam, because I thought you were going somewhere else. All right, we have just there's lots of stuff I want to talk about in not much time. So anybody see The Ferryman up for like a zillion Tonys?
Yes.
Lisa
Yeah, wasn't it amazing?
Too.
Did you see it with the new cast, the Brian
Darcy
James,
the original
yes.
Broadway cast?
Amazing!
One of my
did you love it?
Students is in it.
Oh, cool! Are they in the well, obviously it's
I
not anywhere
he's
else.
He's an understudy, but
it's an amazing piece. It's 3 hours. You don't feel it at all. I could have sat in there for a lot longer. Just an amazing piece. So they re-reviewed it because they just a few weeks ago switched out to the American cast.
Yes,
under the helm of what's his name?
Which one?
You just said his name.
Brian Darcy James.
Brian Darcy James.
I didn't know if you were going with director or actor, so I was like,
no, the director didn't change. It's the same director.
I know, but I didn't know where you were going, Lisa. You left it a little open there.
Holdover, I have to read this because it's Finola Flanagan. Finola Flanagan. She plays the grandmother who sits in a chair forever. And we talked a little bit about her last week when we discovered her secrets for staying so still for so long. So were you surprised when she started talking?
Yes.
Because she sat forever and didn't talk. Do me a favor and just tilt that microphone down a little bit. There you go. So she has some of the greatest monologues. But for the first hour, she doesn't move. And you think, this poor actress, she worked so hard to get on Broadway, and she's in this amazing show, and she doesn't get to do anything, but she does. 21 fully defined characters in the show. What I found, by the way, the review that re-reviewed by Ben Brantley was total
bliss,
and said that that the American cast is very different, where their emotions were worn more out on their sleeves than the London cast was, because it was all very the reviews were all good all across the ground. As far as Brian Darcy James, why am I having trouble with his name?
I have no idea.
He says he's finally in a role that makes full use of his heroic potential. That's nice. And the other thing they talk about is how the show is about storytelling, and it tells like 6 different stories in different ways. And it's an amazing piece. But my favorite part about this was, and I'm just going to read this from the Ben Brantley review. It was also rewarding to see Sean Frank Coffey for a second time. And in one of his final performances in the role of baby Bobby Carney, at the age of 7 months, Mr. Coffey played that part with uncanny but utterly natural poise when the show opened in October. I'm happy to report that in the intervening period, he had only grown in the role without growing out of it. So we talk about the baby and that they've actually cast 2 babies.
2 babies.
Just great. So that's that.
Ta-da! Right.
The other thing that was re-reviewed, and I'm not
going to... There's a lot of re-reviews.
Well, there's two. Two re-reviews.
Yeah.
And I do want to look at this. Dear Evan Hansen with the new kid.
When you see a teen do it. Yeah.
Yeah, and he is a he won the 2018 Jimmy Awards.
Listen, all the Jimmy Award winners are going in.
We're going to talk about the second Jimmy Award winner in a second. But he got amazing reviews and for Dear Evan Hansen. And he's 17 years old. And has anybody seen Dear Evan Hansen? Yeah, it's an amazing piece. The role takes on, you know, I believe he's 17 or 18 as a character in the show. And it's just a fully complex, and you wouldn't think that a young person would have the life experience to really fully play that role. But this kid did a great job. What's his name?
Andrew Barth Feldman.
It's
all about three names today.
I'll forget it very quickly. So that's amazing. And he was a Jimmy winner. And for those of you who don't know what the Jimmys are, we have here in Austin the Greater Austin High School Musical Theater Awards. And the Jimmys are the national version of this. And it's high school students from around the country. And if you ever get a chance to see video of the Jimmy Awards, see it. There was a documentary about, six years ago. That lays it out, and it's truly amazing. It's something that folks would want to see. And it shows our youngsters in action. And what's wonderful about it, and it happens here in Austin as well, is when they announce the best actor and the best actress, all the competitors are around on stage at the same time. And there is no delay in the amount of accolades and love that are pressed on that winner. So there's you don't see anybody hesitate for the least little moment because they didn't win. Everybody, it's a really true family thing. And so I think it's worth seeing. All right, we're running out of time. The Flamingo Kid, the musical The Flamingo Kid.
Did you watch the video?
I did not. Did you?
Oh, God, it was bad.
Well, it's not a great review, although there is...
I love that movie.
Well, it's...
I just am like, it's again, why? Some movies I'm okay with, but this...
Well,
why?
Directed by Darko Trezniak, and they said his direction wasn't all that great. As a matter of fact, he says he cannot effectively stage like one particular part. But this is another series, and I think The Flamingo Kid should translate pretty well, and it doesn't give up on it. It says they need a lot of work. But mostly, they did not like the orchestrations.
You can tell that it's a talented group of people, but it's bad. And the video that they put out for it, I'm like, were you trying to make a music video or show people cutting a track? And it's bad.
And it's with Leslie Margarita, and she gets really good notices. So
love
it's,
Leslie.
I think this is.
She wasn't in that video, just FYI.
Yeah, this is
so
something I think we should keep our eyes on. It's playing at the Hartford Stage in Connecticut right now. So let's all just, we'll get. I can tell you what, if none of us are married in 10 years, we'll meet right here on this spot.
I hope they do fix it. It's a great little story. I
do
love
too.
It.
But yeah. I do have to read the first sentence because I think it's funny and because I'm Jewish. Since the invention of the American musical theater, lyricists keep seeking a rhyme for love that have stuck with just a few possibilities, including dove, above, and the odd glove, and truly desperate shove. So let me first congratulate Robert L. Friedman for conscripting Mazel Tov to the cause. Just think that's funny. And it's in a show. They also use glove. So it's for a song called The Cookie Crumbles. Anyway, I think that it's that kind of musical lends itself really well to that kind of movie lends itself well to a musical. Mm-hmm. Although, as with other things of an age, it has got a lot of problems it comes around to sexism and sexist issues. And it's hard to fix those things. Most of the female characters in the movie were two-dimensional. And so they try to give these women characters dimension by just saying, oh, well, they went to Harvard or something like that. And it's got to be a little bit more than that.
Yeah.
So they're trying. I'm going to give them
I'd like
a
to see what happens. I just, yeah.
78. Okay. Let's see. What are we? Oh, my gosh. It's Barry Manilow.
I was like, are you going to go to Barry Manilow? Because please tell me you're going to go to Barry Manilow.
Barry Manilow. So I agree with this one. So he's coming as part of the, what are they calling it? The in-residence season. Mm-hmm. And he's played on Broadway two other times.
Yeah, he has a Broadway show. Or two.
No, I'm just talking. Yeah, but he's done as a concert two other times.
But he has a Broadway musical also.
Which one?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, Todd Hogan's going to kill me right now. But that's not the name of it.
That's not what I was discussing.
Right. No, I know.
So he played the Gershwin in 1989 and at the St. James in 2013. He also has a residency in the Westgate Hotel in Las Vegas.
Yes.
Don't know that hotel.
Yeah, I don't know that hotel either, but I knew he had a residency in Vegas.
Well, let me just say something. I can't live without him.
No,
I can't live without him. Other people in the in-residence that I did not know about until I read this, Mel Brooks.
I think we talked about...
Regina Spektor.
Mm-hmm.
And then we did talk about Rain.
We talked about Rain.
Yep. So we talked about...
We talked about Morrissey, too. They don't have Morrissey on.
Yeah, but Morrissey.
It's just an odd combination of all those people.
Well, also Yanni.
Yanni. I mean, you know...
So we talked.
I love Yanni, though.
We talked about the Jimmy Award winner, three-word name, him.
Andrew.
Yeah, and also the female winner was Renee Rapp, who sang a song, and you can see it when you if you click on this article, which is she's taking over for Regina in Mean Girls. What's her name, Lauderman?
She goes in July 7th for 3 weeks, and then Taylor Lauderman will come back afterwards, right. And then Renee will officially go in all of October.
Correct, but she's making her Broadway debut in July, mm-hmm. and she's coming back to finish it out when Taylor Lauderman leaves. So she's going to appear in the Muni's production of Kinky Boots.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why she's leaving. But she...
watched the whole thing with Tina Fey yesterday because it was also the anniversary of the movie yesterday.
Awesome. If you look at this, you can see her number that she sang in the Jimmy Awards from... Chaplin, and she's really good.
She's really good. I think her Regina George, it makes me want to go back and see it again and see her Regina George.
All right, so we're going to stop here. There's other stuff. We talked about how great Broadway is doing, not only in the resurgence of Broadway, not only in money, but in seats and butts in seats. Also, the Tony Awards for the past few years have been doing a compilation of musicals that's coming out in June, and you can go on Offstage on Air and get a click on the link and go and see what songs are. And the audience, people like you and me, vote on
it. We get to vote and pick what we want on there.
last thing I want to talk about is the six wives of Henry VIII, which I saw. It was playing in London, and I saw the video for it, and it just looks amazing. A friend of mine, my friend Jeff Youngs, shout out to Jeff Youngs, went to see it when he was in London, and it just opened in Chicago. It's got his eyes set on Broadway, and it's worth a look.
It has the cover of American Theater Magazine this last month. And so the guys on the motorcycle, my brother got all excited. He thought it was Bat Out of Hell. I'm like, no, it's about Henry. No. It was really funny.
It's about the six wives.
Yes.
So,
but there's a great article in American Theater I can share with you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. So let's listen to Tony nominee Sarah Stiles from The Prom. And she's going to sing What's Gonna Happen?
What?
I know what's going to happen. Don't tell me that.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro.
I'm Shiro here with Sheps.
And Rebecca Melanson.
Hello. I'm here. Working the board. Working the board.
What is it? I think she's working the board. Which, by the way, was my sorority name in college.
Dun, dun, dun.
Working the board. So we have our very dear friends from Penfold Theater Company here. We have Ryan Crowder, the artistic director and co-founder.
Hello.
Hello. We have Liz Fisher, the director of Henry V.
Hey.
Or Henry V, or the Fifth Henry, or... I'm Henry the Eighth. I am Henry the Eighth. Okay,
I was waiting for you to sing that when you said.
We have Natalie Blackman.
Hello.
And Adam Miller Bateau.
Hello.
How are you guys?
Good.
So great. Good. Well, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you for having us.
So, Liz, this is a show about somebody named Henry.
Yeah, the fifth Henry. Fifth Henry in the entire world.
Whoa.
Yeah, so this is a one of William Shakespeare's sort of like most famous Henrys. It's the one that gets done the most often simply because it's Henry V and his adventures in France, looking at how this king who grew up in the Henry IVs really comes into his own and conquers the kingdom of France.
Yeah, and there's a love story involved as well.
There is a love story, a beautiful one between him and...
Which is all I can remember about the show.
Really?
Mm. Yeah. Really? Most people remember it for the famous Band of Brothers.
That's what I was just saying. Not Band of Brothers, really the love.
I just think...
story touches you.
I saw it in the park with Kevin Klein years ago, and he did the love story part of it really, really well.
Yeah,
so that's all
I could see that.
Awesome. So, Adam, what do you play in the show?
I play a number of roles. I play the Duke of Exeter. I play Pistol. I play the Governor of Harfleur and the Duke of Burgundy.
That's right. We should take a little trip to the side here before we find out who Natalie plays. And Ryan, explain, because this is not a full cast of people.
That's right. So Liz has adapted Shakespeare's Henry V into a piece for six actors, and those actors work hard. I watched the rehearsal last night, and it's amazing. They're doing all these different characters. They're fighting. They're singing. One of them juggles. I mean, it's really amazing what these people are doing up there. But yeah, I think the original script calls for 20-something.
Oh, I think it's in the 30s. It's a huge 30-something cast.
30-something people, and so have boiled the character list down and then divided those roles up among six actors.
Which is something you typically do in your summer shows, which is one of the things I really love about it. It's very inventive and fun.
Yes, it forces us to think with our imaginations and to play with the idea of watching a play. It has a more storytelling aspect to it. And the audiences generally love watching the actors go through the work of doing this big epic story with only a few of them.
Yeah. So Natalie, what roles are you playing?
I am playing Fluellen, the Welsh captain, the Dauphin, the Prince of France, Mistress Quickly for half a second, and Westmoreland.
For half a second?
Yes.
I bet you it's longer than that. I think you're exaggerating.
It's Quickly. I challenge you.
Okay, maybe a full second. Quickly.
Well, I have seen pictures of the set going up.
Oh yeah,
Ian Stara is doing the set, and it seems a little bit more ambitious than your previous shows out there.
That's true. This is
trick
our
of the
no, that's true.
So we've done it for 9 years now, and we've only had two story sets, and this is actually a three story set. So yeah, she has basically turned the amphitheater into a military base.
Your other one was Comedy of Errors, didn't that have two story
yes,
set?
Good yes, good memory. I'm impressed.
Yeah, thank you. I did some research before the show. I know he's going to mention multi-level set.
Yeah, so it becomes a big jungle gym for them to climb all over.
And what fun! And it is outdoors. How's that? Have either of you performed outdoors before, like at Zilker or anywhere else?
Yes, I've performed at the Illinois Shakespeare Festival and
in
Utah
Illinois
Shakespeare Festival. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that
Illinois.
Would make sense.
It's hot.
Yeah, I've done outdoor theater as well, just not here in Texas.
Where?
Michigan, Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Okay, I know Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Like, you know the Michigan.
I know the Michigan. I'm a Michigander at heart.
Yes.
Me too. Let's. excellent. Yeah, my people are from Muskegon. So let's. Earlier, right before we went back on the air, we asked Natalie to choose a number between 2 and 54. What did you choose?
7.
All right. Let's see what that is.
Hey, this is Dana Marie Ingram and Cindy Winters from Motown the Musical.
And you're listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP Hornsby Austin.
Where's the singing?
We're going to do that in another take.
Test.
Okay.
That was funny. You and I both go, that's not the singing one. And
the
then we
one.
Called them out on that too, going, you didn't
the
sing.
The singing one is good. So that was Motown the Musical. Thank you. A very good number chosen. I don't think we've heard that
one. We haven't heard that one in a while. So that was very
excellent.
Nice.
Congratulations. So you guys, you chose that. This was you. so you guys are prepared to do a little scene, are you not?
Yeah.
Does somebody want to set that up?
Yeah, so this scene is actually between Fluellen, the Welsh captain, and Pistol, a soldier in Henry's army. And this is a confrontation that's been sort of building to this moment in the play. These two haven't really been getting along so well, and they're finally about to duke it out.
Great. So this is Natalie Blackman and Adam Miller-Bateau doing a scene from Penfold Theatre Company's Henry V by William Shakespeare, adapted by Liz Fisher.
God bless you, ancient Pistol, you scurvy, lousy knave. God bless you.
Ha, art thou bedlam? Hence, I am qualmish at the smell of leeks.
I beseech you heartily, scurvy, lousy knave, at my desires and my requests and my petitions to eat, look you, this leek. Because you do not love it, nor your affections and your appetites and your digestions does not agree with it, I would desire you to eat it.
Not for Cadwallader and all of his goats.
There is one goat for you.
Oh.
Will you be so good, Skaltsknave, as eat it?
Thou shalt die.
You say very true, Skaltsknave, when God's will is. I will desire you to live in the meantime and eat your victuals. Come, there is sauce for it. If you can mock a leek, you can eat a leek.
Ah!
Captain, you have astonished him.
Say, I will make him eat some part of my leek, or I will beat his pay 4 days. Bite, I pray you.
Must I bite?
Yes, certainly, and out of doubt and out of question, too, and ambiguities. Will you have some more sauce to your leek?
Quiet thy cudgel, thou dost see I eat.
Much good do you, Skaltsknave, heartily. When you take occasions to see leeks hereafter, I pray you, mock at him. That is all.
Good.
Aye, leeks is good.
Oh my God, leeks is good. Well, I have to say, Natalie,
that's fine.
I was gonna give you a hard time because there are just not in there were too many consonants in the name for it to be Welsh. But having lived in Wales for a long time, your Welsh accent is amazing.
Thank you.
Didn't really live in Wales.
Like she didn't live in Wales. She's busting.
No, that's a lot of fun. All right,
It's even better with the physicality.
Well, this is one that we should have had the video camera for.
We have to bring that back.
We may have to bring that back.
I think we have to have a conversation.
We shall. Mm-hmm. When does this puppy open?
Tomorrow.
So May 30th, Thursday, May 30th, and runs through June 23rd.
And it is where?
It is at the Round Rock Amphitheater, which is in the historic downtown Round Rock.
And downtown Round Rock is actually pretty cool. Those of us that are snobby Austinites don't go there very often, but the times I've been there and seen it, and usually to see something from Penfold, I like the downtown area of Round Rock.
Yeah, it's a beautiful community. We've got a rooftop bar just across the street and some nice restaurants around. So
right, and if you go to your website, which is
www.penfoldtheater.org.
There is a, there's like a, I don't think you head it this way, but I'm still going by my own memory, a planning your trip kind of thing where it's like, what can you do when you come and see the show around that area? And you can also, do people pack picnic lunches when they come out and see it?
Oh yeah, picnics, you know, they bring their kids, they bring their pets. It's a great kind of layout of the lawn environment. And actually, in the plaza next door is a sculpture garden.
Oh, lovely.
So now you've got people kind of browsing among the sculptures.
So can I bring my dog, Sophie?
You can absolutely bring
your
dog, Sophie.
You've met my dog, Sophie. You know how.
So why wouldn't you be able to bring her?
Because she barks like crazy. She does not shut up. She's not welcome. Well, thank you guys. Just saying. Not welcome. Lover, not welcome. Well, great. Thank you guys for being on the show. Hopefully all or some of you can stick around and join us backstage after the show.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you. Yes, thank awesome. You. That was a lot of fun.
It was a lot
of fun.
How
much is going to say it again? That was a lot of fun.
Going to continue the fun.
Yes.
That was Ryan Crowder, Liz Fisher, Natalie Blackman, and Adam Miller-Bateau of Penfold Theatre Company's Henry V by William Shakespeare. May 30th to June 23rd at the Round Rock Amphitheatre. For more information, penfoldtheatre.org. We'll be right back.
War is a science which a general.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps, Nicole Shiro.
Yes, hello.
And Rebecca
Shiro Sheps and Melanson.
Melanson.
Wow.
That
That was awesome.
Rebecca gets a song. So we're gonna take a short detour here and talk about local stuff. Yeah, and I can't believe we have not talked about this before, but I've been seeing this and I haven't really looked at it. Bird Bath and Beyond, that's going to be done at the Scottish Rite Theater.
Yes.
It's Natalie George and Eloise Gold, and they always do some really, really fun stuff. And this one is called Bird Bath and Beyond.
Yes.
So I love Eloise. I love Natalie. So it's well worthwhile checking it out. You can get information at nataliegeorgeproductions.com. It plays May 30th through June 2nd at the Scottish Rite Theater. Dun dun dun
dun dun dun.
All right, that's it. I also have to remind folks that Dex and Abby is playing at the Ground Floor Theater. It's our last weekend, and it's so much fun. I have to just very quickly say I love the whole cast, and the two people that play the dogs, Jason Graff and Cassidy Timms, really have dog down. I'm hypercritical about this, and I did not direct it, so I don't have a lot of things invested in it, other than I just look at the choices they make as actors and that Bob Tolero did as a director, and I'm just amazed and in wonderment, and very clear that it was a good choice for me not to direct it, because they do such a phenomenal job. So it's so much fun to see. groundfloortheater.org. You don't have to say the G the way I did it, but it helps. Today in theater history.
Today?
In theater history.
In theater history, what happened?
I want to hear Rebecca Melanson do Today in Theater History.
Today in theater history.
Oh, I loved it.
I love it too.
That was smashing.
All right, well, let's go back to 1951.
Okay.
It is the death anniversary of Fanny Brice. She died
Oh, poor Fanny.
Guess how old she was? She wasn't terribly old.
I was like, I thought she was young. 40s?
60.
Yes. Really?
Yeah. Guess how old I am?
25.
Yes. Yeah, very good. That was a very good guess and absolutely correct. She was the first female comic hired by Flo Ziegfeld. Did not know that.
I did know that.
And of course, she's made famous by the musical and movie Funny Girl by somebody named Barbara Streisand. And that was Fanny Brice. And so, 3 years exactly to the day after Oklahoma opened on Broadway, it came back and opened again on Broadway. The national tour, which had visited 114 cities. Oh, sorry. Not after 3 years of after it's opened, after 3 years after it closed.
I was like, I thought it was going, closed and then
so that didn't make a lot of sense. Now it makes a little bit more sense.
I thought
I can't
you knew
read.
Something I didn't. That's no. why I was so like pensive, like, tell no. Lisa, tell.
Anyway, so it opened again. And then in 1963, Bob Fosse stars in Pal Joey.
Pal Joey,
along with Vivica Lindfors, Jack Durant, Elaine Dunn, and Rita Gardner. People will know Rita Gardner. She was Louisa in the original Fantastics.
Yes.
Which I think is fantastic. Has anybody been watching Fosse Verdon? We've been talking about this in the show.
No, yes. But it's on my list.
Nicole has. I believe the last episode aired on Sunday.
Last night.
On last night. And I'm halfway through it.
I was behind last week when we were on the show. I was behind 2 weeks. I caught up. I just have this last night's to watch.
So, what are your thoughts?
No
spoilers. We have people. We have at least one person that has it on their list.
Okay.
Oh, he dies.
He dies. Oh. Guess what? She does too.
Not in this
not
series.
Not in this
though.
Series, but in life. Last week you and I were saying how they were going to help show her in a different. Like this whole new way, and I was like, I don't see it.
I don't see it.
I didn't see it after last week's episode either. Although you did enjoy how last week's was written and directed, and I get that.
I like the way it was structured. And what do you think of? Oh my God,
Sam Waterston?
No, what's her name?
I'm really enjoying Sam Waterston. Yeah, as I am. Bob I am Fosse. I love Sam Waterston. My brother keeps coming in, going, I love this guy.
But
I'm
what
like,
do you?
I know.
What do you think of Michelle Williams? Yeah.
I in the beginning, I really was enjoying it. Now I almost feel like it's sticky.
It's sticky, and I believe, and I know how Gwen Verdon has that effect in her voice, but I think hers is turned up to 11.
Yeah, but it wasn't like that at the very beginning.
Don't let this affect your.
I've really enjoyed getting to know more about Joan Simon. She was a very important person in Neil Simon's career and life. And I think there's a lot of great other stories that you know about if you've read these books or learn more or whatever. But yeah.
All right. Flossie Verdon. Definitely.
We'll both have to watch this last episode and then recap.
Definitely worth seeing right now. So the final episode is when they're shooting Flossie. And you don't see him full on. You don't see him very much. But the guy in rehearsal that they have playing Roy Scheider is pretty amazing.
You mean all that jazz? He wasn't alive for Flossie.
I meant all that jazz.
Okay, sorry. I'm like, wait, did he come back? I saw that revival.
We got it.
He died at Sweet
Charity.
We
got it. Okay.
Roy Scheider. He's smaller than me.
I love it when Nicole points out my flaws.
No, I no, was I do. Confused I love and it. I was trying to understand.
I love it.
It's good listening.
Other birthdays. Speaking of Bob Flossie.
Bon anniversaire.
Bob Hope.
Oh, didn't you tour with Bob Hope or meet Bob Hope?
I did not.
You didn't
Never.
Meet Bob Hope?
Not once.
Who was it that met Bob Hope that
I don't
told
know.
Me he wasn't nice?
I would. No, you're thinking of Bob Newhart.
Was it Bob Newhart?
Bob Newhart.
Okay.
Not
I was
nice.
Like, you told me a Bob story. Yeah. You're like, yeah, not nice.
Also, the birthday of Annette Bening, who I just love.
Oh, yes.
Annette Bening, I should say that the movie American President, if it's on, I watch it.
You know, it's hard. It is one of those that you, I agree with that.
All right. So that's it for Today in Theater History. So now let's listen to Brooks Ashmankus, which is the most fun name to say.
It is.
And he is in The Prom. And it's I wrote Gary's going to the prom, but I believe it's Barry is going to the prom.
It's strange, but I feel like I'm in a time.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
And Rebecca Malonzon.
And me. Yeah.
I said and. Okay. We are back. We are gonna now talk to the Treehouse Theater. Hold on, I want to get the right company. It's not Treehouse Theater Company. It's Treehouse Players.
Yes.
Hey. And their show, This Is Our Youth by Kenneth Lonergan. And we have the director, Jeremy Lee Cudd. It says Alan.
I'm surprised you didn't
say
Alan.
Oh, I know why. Now I know why it says Alan. So, yeah. Jeremy Lee Cudd. And you're supposed to say hello.
Hello.
And we have David Lee Barrera. David Alan Barrera.
Hola.
Hola, and Vivian Glazier.
Hi.
Now, David, this is you are a founder of the Treehouse Players, yes?
Yes, ma'am.
And this is your premiere performance.
Inaugural, absolutely.
Inaugural, premiere. Yeah, really, whatever. You can you can throw my words.
All the fancy words. Yeah.
So before we get about to talk about the show itself, tell us about Treehouse Players.
So it's just a new theater company around town. We have tons of them, but it's my first.
Can never
one.
Have enough.
So I love theater. I grew up in the theater. I've always known I've wanted to produce and create theater from a different perspective outside of just acting. And I think.
What's your mission?
Our mission is just to create authentic moments on stage. So, because I believe the power of theater is seeing the familiar from the audience perspective and hopefully self-reflect on our own lives.
Cool.
And that's, yeah.
If I were to create a theater company, I'd have a mission of, we do okay stuff.
We're all right.
We're okay.
We're all right.
No money back. So,
Jeremy, tell us about this piece. This Is Our Youth.
This Is Our Youth is it's set in 1982 in Upper West Side Manhattan.
Been there.
It's the three characters, 2 days in the lives of three characters, Dennis and Jessica and Warren. It all takes place in Dennis's apartment, and it's in that sort of period of their lives where their childhood is clearly behind them, but they're not, they can't figure out what the next step into adulthood is, and they're rejecting some of the steps. And regressing a little bit, so they're a little stuck, and it's a coming-of-age story and a lot of growing pains within
and
that.
How old are the characters?
19.
Oh, okay.
19 and 21.
19, 19, and 21. So that's like 60. They're going to die, just like Fanny Bryce.
Yes.
Well, then, no.
Oh my gosh, you're like Duke McLoop, just like wasn't Flossie in his 60s too?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, but this was 60s specifically. So this is one of Kenneth Lonergan's, if not his first, it's one of his earlier pieces.
It was his
correct?
Big breakout play. Yes, mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he had a one act before this. Yeah.
Well, that's cool. And Vivian, you play Jessica.
Yes, ma'am.
Tell us about that character.
Of course. So she's kind of just trying to figure out her place in the world. She's struggling with living in the city when all of her closest friends have moved away, and she's trying to find a new group of people to be her shoulders to cry on and rely on, and struggling with the growing pains of being an independent person, but also living with mom.
No, no. Living with mom in New York City. And David, tell us about your character.
Yeah, Warren is he's just someone who's gone through a lot in his life, and at this point hasn't served him too well. But I think it's enough to hopefully towards the end of the play we can see a change within him. But he's just a kid who is trying his best.
So I think I ascertained that Jessica's character is a New Yorker. Have the other characters transplanted to New York, or are they all from New York?
They're all from New York in a tight Jewish knit community.
What neighborhood? Upper West Side. You already said that.
Yeah. I was like,
that's good. Which synagogue did they go to? Because I need to know. It's important. Well, you guys are prepared to do a little scene, are you not?
Yes, ma'am.
Somebody want to set that up?
Yeah. So we have Jessica and Warren left alone in Dennis's apartment, and it's kind of a setup. Warren has expressed interest in Jessica, and Jessica's maybe interested, but jury's still out. So they could be just stuck together in this room, or it could go well. And that's kind of the essence of this scene.
Okay. So this is David Allen Barrera and Vivian Glazer and Treehouse Players production of This Is Our Youth.
So are you heavily into fashion development?
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of designing. I've always done it. It's what I want to do.
Well, my basic philosophy on clothes is that they should be comfortable, not look like too many people that slave over their creation. But then again, I'm not really fashion-oriented.
Yeah, but you will be someday.
I doubt it.
Yeah, but you will. Your whole personality will be different.
You think?
Sure. What you're like now has nothing to do with what you're going to be like. Like right now, you're all like this rich little pot-smoking burnout rebel, but like 10 years from now, you're going to be a plastic surgeon reminiscing about how wild you used to be.
Well, I don't want to make any rash predictions at this point, but I seriously doubt I'm going to be going in for plastic surgery.
Well, okay, whatever. But you'll definitely be a completely different person. Everything you think will be different, and the way you act, and all your most passionately held beliefs will be completely different, and it's really depressing.
How do you figure?
Because it just basically invalidates whoever you are right now. You know what I mean? It just makes your whole self at any given moment seem so completely dismissible. So it's like, what's the point?
I don't really know about that.
Well, it's true.
I mean, maybe so, but I just don't really agree with it.
Well, I've thought about this a lot.
So have I.
I mean, look who our president is now, if you don't believe me.
I'm not sure I follow you, but I guess that's...
No, like the classic example is all those kids from the 60s who were so righteous about changing the face of civilization. And then the minute they got older, they were like, actually, you know what? Maybe I'll go be a lawyer.
I guess that's one interpretation.
But it's totally true. And now like Ronald Reagan is president of the United States. I mean, how embarrassing is that?
I mean, it's totally embarrassing. Although I have to say, I definitely know some people who are still seriously into civic activities, like my mother. And she does like a fair amount of volunteer work for some grape-picking civil liberties organization in California.
I know people who do that too, but I'm not talking about the last pathetic remnants of Upper West Side Jewish liberalism. I'm talking about the mainstream, and it's such a joke. I mean, I definitely feel that like evil has like triumphed in our time.
So do I. But I still don't know if I'd really ascribe all that to the theory that people's personalities undergo some kind of fundamental alteration when they get older.
Well, they do, and it's a big factor.
They obviously do to a degree.
Yeah.
And things definitely happen to alter their general trajectory.
Yeah, and no matter what...
But I think that you basically get a set of characteristics, and they pretty much just develop in different ways.
But can
like
I just
say
last
year of high school, I suddenly realized, like, all these weird kids I was growing up with were, like, well on the way to becoming a really weird adult, and it was pretty scary, you know? Like, you see this crazy kid, and you realize he's never going to grow out of it. He's just a messed up crazy kid who's going to be a messed up crazy adult with, like, a ruined life.
Are you done now?
I'm done with that thought.
Well, can I please say something?
Go ahead.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Oh my God. I have to say that I can't continue on the show. I'm rather depressed now. Because these are all conversations I remember having.
Yeah. Do you know what's funny is I feel like I still was having some of them. When did we turn into that old person?
Yeah, that's true.
Week,
and unfortunately, Jessica is 100% right in this case.
Yeah.
Yes.
Kind of want to slip my wrist. Except.
The familiar, though. There it is.
I think once you become that person and then you raise your kids and you pay your mortgage and you do all that, you come back to be the person you were.
Oh, Pollyanna.
Yeah.
I'm so beautiful. I'm there.
Are you with Warren?
That was part of the conversation we were having when you said you turned this week, when you were saying you turned home. I'm like, yeah, but you go back to it.
Yeah.
You go back to it.
Well, yeah. My parents didn't.
My mom has.
Yeah. Y'all are lucky. Whatever. What a great scene.
Yeah, that
seems
was
like
fun.
A lot of fun to play.
Listen, you have us fun. Sitting already having a conversation.
That's what I was saying. Like, that's the power of the familiar.
It's power. Yeah, and of course the we can't ignore the parallels to our current situation.
Yes,
with regards to our president.
Or how it felt in the 80s.
I lived through those times. I'm living through these times.
Me too. We survived.
But
we'll
I also lived
again.
Through Barack Obama times.
Yeah.
That's right.
Times.
So what's been fun about putting this piece together?
Just working on this script. I mean, it's a script that over and over as a teacher I've used in class, partly because it just has a sort of high benchmark and it just forces everybody to raise their game up to it. And I think that's the fun part of rehearsal.
And is this a two-actor or a single act?
This is two acts.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, and with three characters, those are always the to maintain a show for two full acts and keep the audience with just three characters is tough. It's a challenge, right? Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah. How has it been for you? So, David, how has it been for you as the creator of this company to watch this piece come on its feet? And why this piece?
A lot of factors with this. One, just I feel like when creating theater, the script is everything because that's the foundation. And now we just got to get out of the way in terms of putting in the work. So the script is, I love Kenneth Lonergan. It's three characters, so that makes it easier to kind of manage. It's set in one apartment. It's just perfect for like a first production. And it's been amazing. Like it's, I knew it was going to be rewarding, but it's just different when you actually see everybody come together, like, and then do the thing, and then it's just like, and you see them enjoying it. And it's everything. It's why I do theater, for the experience and the community of it.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
See, we should have had the camera again because he spoke so passionately too. You could see it while he was speaking.
Well, that's the beauty of the radio.
I know.
We felt the passion.
I know, but I like
the
surprise camera here and there. I'm just saying. Let's bring back the camera.
All right. We have to bring back the camera. Yes, that's. It sounds like a lot of fun, and this is. Yeah. It sounds like this is a playwright's piece. Was there any? As a director, did you take any? Did you go off in any areas or any angles that may not be normal? I'm using air quotes.
No, we're pretty normal, I suppose. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of the things that are outlined in the script, I felt like the wisdom was there, and I just wanted to tap into the why of it and make sure that we got behind the engine behind the action. So, yeah.
Cool.
Nothing freaky or weird going on that isn't in the play.
You did not set it in a post-apocalyptic 2021 with Ronald Reagan coming back.
Oh, my gosh.
Good idea, though.
I was saying, that's a whole nother...
That's a revival.
Yeah, we'll do it. When does it open?
It opens this Friday, May 31st.
And plays through?
June 16th.
And you're at the Veracruz, which is a beautiful...
The Santa Cruz.
Santa Cruz. I wrote Veracruz. I'm going to have to talk to them about changing it.
I guess Alan
it's a great
is
food
at...
Truck,
Alan, Alan has his own show at Veracruz while this show is going on.
Okay. I don't know who Alan is.
Well... Used the name Alan instead of Lee.
I got it. So yeah, Santa Cruz, which is a charming little theater, probably perfect for this piece.
I agree.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Hopefully you all can stick around and come backstage with us.
I'd love to.
That would be groovy.
All right.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So that was Jeremy Lee Cudd, David Allen Barrera, and Vivian Glazer of Treehouse Players production of This Is Our Youth by Kenneth Lonergan. from May 31st to June 16th at the Santa Cruz Theater Center. And I didn't ask you this, so hopefully this is right. You can get more information at treehouseplayerstheater.com.
Yes, ma'am.
So we will be right back.
We are back.
That was more fun.
That was a fun episode.
It was a whole fun episode. It was like double guest fun. It was hosting with you two fun.
This was a blast. I'm going to leave this session and go embrace my inner rebel.
But you can't because then we can't say Sheps and Shiro and Melanson.
We can say that.
I can still be here and be a rebel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She is a rebel. Well, this is another great show. Remember, like us on Twitter, tweet us on Facebook. We are available as a podcast via iTunes and soon Google Play, as well as Stitcher and other places. And then we'll just send the podcast directly to you. We have 258 subscribers, I found out today.
Did you?
Yes.
Well, let's get it up.
258. How do they subscribe?
They just go to offstageonair.com. You just enter your name in the mailbox and shazam, we arrive.
Shazam, that's twice for shazam.
Shiro Shops and Melanson are in your mailbox.
Well, great. So, Austin Modern News is next. If you are watching, listening on the terrestrial radio, if you're listening on our podcast, stand by for Backstage at Offstage. We're going to learn lots of great things about our guests. And let's go. This was one of my favorite videos of that series of Tony winners. This is Rashidra Scott at Ain't Too Proud. She's got a very short piece in the show itself. This is an extended cut of If You Don't Love Me, If You Don't Know Me By Now, and it's gorgeous. We'll see you next week.
Just trust in me like I trust in you. As long as we've been together, it should be easy to do. Just get yourself together, or we might as well say goodbye.
The curtain has just come down on Crying the Musical, the story of a young upstart theater producer who just can't stop his tear ducts from spewing salt water and all the links he goes to get that done. But anyway, the curtain has come down. We've left the theater. We're out backstage. We're out by the dumpsters. We're standing in puddles of unnamed liquid. And we are here chatting. So we've got a small group today, which is really great. That's the way we can really find out a lot more about folks. But we have Jeremy Allen Cudd and David Lee Barrera.
We're going to have to make a hybrid human with those names. Right.
Jeremy Lee Cudd and David Allen Barrera. I have no idea why, but I wrote it like three different places on my script, Allen. Well, great. Well, welcome to Backstage.
Thank you.
So, David, I sort of want to start with you, and this can be a free-for-all, but I'm just the idea of starting a theater company as someone who has done the same multiple times. What the hell are you thinking?
Exactly. I think it takes an insane person to act and then an even more insane person to start their own theater company.
Right.
So I think...
So this is literally you form the company and you're producing this piece.
Yes, ma'am.
Where do you see this company being in 5 years? What are your goals for the company?
I'm not sure, to be honest. I'm kind of taking it one show at a time since I've never done it before.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just want to make sure that the show that we do is the best absolute show we can do with the time that's given to us. But ideally, I would love to keep doing more. I just need to see how sustainable is it. Yeah.
Well, you certainly got the A-team as a director. You're in a nice, you have a nice venue. So it looks like you're doing everything the right way to begin with.
I'm going through the... idea of surround yourself with the most talented people you could find, articulate your vision to them, and then hopefully you hired them for a reason, so trust them and let them fly because they are artists too.
So did you create this company by yourself, or is there somebody with you?
By myself.
By yourself.
Yeah.
And so is your title artistic director? Have you even gotten to that point?
Producer.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, what you know, you have a company. You have to have the artistic integrity of that company, and somebody's got to do it.
Of
and
course.
So somebody chose this piece, and somebody chose Jeremy to direct it, et cetera, et cetera. So
yeah.
I dub you artistic director.
Okay.
Where are you from?
Brownsville, Texas.
I played Brownsville.
Deep South.
Were you backstage? Did you come backstage when you were on the show before?
Yes.
We have to have talked about this.
We did.
That I played Brownsville in 1974.
Wait, you played Brownsville?
I did a show in Brownsville in 1974.
Oh, gotcha. Wow.
I was on the road with a production of The Wizard of Oz. Oh. I played Toto. yeah, and we toured Brownsville.
So Mexico wasn't so dangerous back then.
It was, and it was equally, I tell this story just to sort of talk about the innocence of childhood. I was 14 at the time, but there were, people were quite bigoted back then. And as a matter of fact, when we were driving in the bus, we played all the board, we played Harlingen, Brownsville, and all those places. And the bus driver said to the group, sometimes you can even see the wetbacks crossing the road. Mm-hmm. And to my 14-year-old mind, he was talking about deer, because what else would he be talking about?
Yeah.
And it wasn't until like probably not all that long ago that I
realized
the difference,
yeah,
and that he was just a bigoted ass. but I just love the innocence of children. Oh, that must be deer.
Know, yeah.
There must wetback wetback deer,
which is a beautiful thing. They assume the best in people, but they can be dangerous from time to time.
Yeah. Well, so did you do theater there?
Yes. I did a Camille Leitner Playhouse, which is the community theater there. I did the summer theater program when I was 8, and then I've just been doing theater every year since then.
Awesome. So, did you go to school here in Austin, Texas?
Yeah, I came here for UT. That's how I landed
here. I call it
here.
UT. UT. It's just what I call it. And you were in the School of Theater and Dance?
Kind of. So like Brownsville, when I graduated in 2010, was the poorest city in the nation GDP-wise. So that's reflected.
Really?
Yeah, and that's reflected in the educational system. So coming out of Brownsville to UT, I had no idea what I was doing. No one told me. I didn't even know there's a theater department. I remember applying for the MFA program and asking them, hey, I've done theater in Brownsville. Can I get into your MFA? And then they basically replied back saying, no, you're not. That's not how it works. I replied back and was like, well, I can audition. I promise. Like, I've been doing it. It's like, no, that's just not how it works. You have to – you're an undergrad. I was like, oh, okay.
You were talking about skipping undergrad altogether.
Oh, I guess. I mean,
okay.
school, right?
Yeah.
In my mind. And then so I went to philosophy, tried to get into the theater program, and for 3 years in a row I got rejected. Until I finally got in my senior year, and so I was basically in the theater department for a year.
Okay. Yeah. Well, but now you're out here, and you stayed in Austin when you left. Mm-hmm. Your family still out in
Brownsville.
In Brownsville.
Yeah.
Do you get over there very often?
I try to. I try to go every couple months. I used to go every month. It's a 5.5-hour drive, which isn't too bad, but, you know, family's important.
It is. It is.
Yeah.
And what about you, Jeremy? Where are you from?
I'm originally from Crystal, Minnesota.
Minnesota, oh dear.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Where's Crystal?
It's a little nothing suburb of Minneapolis.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've not spent a lot of time in Minneapolis, but people that are from Minneapolis, I have lots of friends from there, love it.
Yeah.
And there's obviously lots of great music. It's the home of Prince.
Yes.
And there's decent theater.
Yes.
There's a little theater called the Guthrie out there.
Mm-hmm.
It does some stuff.
Uh-huh.
Did you do theater in your little suburb of?
No, I was, I left there at age 13. I didn't get into theater until midway undergrad.
Okay.
Drumming, and music was my thing. And I actually found theater through playing for musicals.
Oh,
I would
cool.
play in the pit.
Where? Wow.
I mean, just around Atlanta.
That's where I was headed. Well, they've got some decent theater too. They have a little theater there called the Alliance that does some decent work.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's Atlanta's where I started my theater career.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Did you ever work at the Alliance?
I did. Yes.
Yeah.
Worked there.
They've just done some amazing work there.
Yes, absolutely. And it's really grown a lot in the last few years since I've left, and the film industry's really taken off there.
Yeah. So the film industry moved from Austin to Atlanta.
Yes. Following the tax incentives.
Correct.
Yes.
And we were. That was a really smart move of us to take those away. So what brought you to Austin?
The job at UT. I teach in the theater and dance department.
Are you tenured? Are you a professor? Do I have to call you a professor?
I am what they call now an assistant professor of practice, which is a fancier title for their untenured professors, now that that's more the way of the world.
Yeah.
That's one of the gestures toward, I think, taking care of that class of professor.
So why teach?
I've always sort of integrated teaching into my acting career. Mm-hmm. I did a lot of teaching in Chicago, a lot in Atlanta.
Where'd you teach in Chicago?
I taught at Act One Studios.
I took acting at Act One.
Yeah, a lot of people went through there. Yeah, I loved teaching there because that was one of the places where I got to teach all ages.
Uh-huh.
So I was teaching people much older than me as well as younger cats.
When were you in Chicago?
I was there a little over 4 years. I left there 2011. Yeah. So.
Okay. Were you doing theater? Were you performing there as well? Because the theater community in Chicago is this insular group that's really hard to get into.
It is. It's a bit cliquish. I think partially because it's like here, it's hard to like build a theater company, and when you build it, you're protective of the opportunities that you created.
Yep.
So you have to kind of negotiate as a group with other groups. Individuals are a bit of a threat in the ecosystem if you're unknown.
Yep.
But I think that that's just part of the economics of it now. But yeah, I did theater in Chicago. I did some storefront stuff. And then mostly, though, that was a hub for me. I found myself being out of the city on a gig for right. like 5 months, and then I'd have to kind of like reacclimate and sort of plug back in. So I
now
kind of
this is when you're performing.
Yeah. So
and you're an equity performer, correct?
Yes, I am. Yeah. So it was a lot of like it was equity gigs outside of town, and then so you have to kind of hit the reset button when you come back in. And equity is really tricky, particularly if you're a little bit. If you're not really old, but you're in the sort of middle part of your career in Chicago, because it's mostly a kind of non-equity town in the yeah. early access points.
Yeah. Well, I won't admit to it, but you know, in my early days, I did plenty of work that wasn't equity in New York, and you change your name,
yes,
and in the program, and if equity serves you a cease and desist, you cease and desist because you can't lose your equity card.
I do sometimes wish the union was a little better about not chasing after their actors and more about going after the producing entities, but the economics doesn't really allow for that.
We all have our opinions about equity and how well or not well they serve the community that they're supposed to serve.
Yeah.
So
Seem to be trying though. Like there's a lot of changes that are happening that at least are in a mindset that I don't know what other move they have to make.
Well, certainly this latest thing with the workshops was a good move. Mm. And I don't know who gets the credit for being successful there, but certainly the producers were fighting to say that actors in devised pieces and original works did not have any kind of rights to the creative pieces of that, which is bull dookie.
Yes.
If you ask just about anybody in the business.
Yeah.
So you even take an established piece of work when you go into a theater, that production that is a fruit of that labor, like the show you're working on right now, it's the actors bring a lot to the ball game.
Absolutely.
You know, a third in many ways, one might argue.
Especially when a new play's in development.
Right. Always with a new play. Yeah. And that's in even the one that's not workshopped, the actors should get credit for helping the playwright and the director develop that piece.
Yeah. I mean, why not?
Well, because the people that want the money. I mean, it's,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's
when you go into commercial theater, it's a losing proposition to begin with. So every little penny they try to hoard and hold on to. That's why not.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, actors always have the least amount of power.
Yep.
And that's unfortunate. So, well, let's step off of our soapbox. I think
yes.
we've got that done and learn more about Jeremy Lee Cudd. Well, so you did Minneapolis. You've done Chicago. Were you in New York ever?
No, I the only time I was in New York, I was just on friends' couches, and I was just trying to figure out if I wanted to be in New York. And
did you do any auditions?
A few, but I just it wasn't my scene. Okay. Just the daily grind. I was just like, this is not my life.
It's tough. What about you, yeah. David? Any desires on New York or Chicago or LA or anything like that?
Yeah. Although I think I need to talk to Jeremy a little bit more about it.
Or
because
not.
I had a plan, and he kind of poo-pooed it, which was essentially.
That's what I do.
It's what he does. to go to the Tisch School of Arts and to get a graduate degree, but not necessarily because I want to teach, but more so, one, I just provide myself a bubble of like constantly working on the craft every day for 2 to 3 years, which is incredible for training wise, especially because I'm not thinking as me as an actor next year. I'm thinking about when I'm 50, 40 down the road. But also like, one of the things that's tough to be an actor is just to be seen. Like, yeah, that's the hardest thing, and it's everything. So going into a school like that, I would assume that there would be people kind of walking you through to be seen, if you're worth anything.
Well, I would endorse anything that gets you to where you need to be, whether that's school or not, whether a school or a degree from Tisch is going to actually feed you as a professional performer. Not so much. Yeah, you could do all that without paying however many thousands of dollars to Tisch.
300,000.
Yeah. So you could do all that. Could you imagine giving somebody 25,000 to like say, hey, will you call me every day and make me go to class and auditions? That's basically what you're talking about.
Yeah. And that's why he essentially said very, and it made sense. So now I'm like, okay.
But whatever it takes to get you there. But I do, if people give me advice, I do my best to discourage them, because if they're going to make it, they're not going to listen to me and they're going to go do it anyway.
Right.
If I can dissuade you, you're not going to make it anymore.
Oh, exactly. Period. I agree. Yeah. I don't know if you ever saw Whiplash, but that's like one of the,
I have not. Themes. I've had Whiplash. I haven't really though. So that's not true. Well, this has been awesome. I'd love it when we have a small group and we can really get an idea of what we're all talking. Jeremy, are you going to stay in academia? Do you think you're going to,
That's a loaded question. Mm-hmm. To be honest with you, I think, there's a part of it that I need to like recharge and reset. And there are things I love teaching and I love the space in my classroom, but I think the institutions that it's docked into and the rigging of that sometimes makes it really, really difficult. And you spend a lot of times on things that aren't effective or are rigged to sort of subvert your purposes. So, I find that frustrating. So that's always kind of.
And do you teach in the summer or do you take a sabbatical?
I take the summers off, which is good. And I tend to feel a lot better going into the fall semesters, but certainly by the end of spring, I question a lot of things. And part of that is just like, I want to be effective, because kids are going into debt, and for a degree that doesn't have any promise of return. So I feel
you're not walking right into a six-figure job at the end of a theater education.
Yeah.
Exactly the opposite.
Yes.
So the last question I have about teaching is, do they give you parking?
No, they do not give you parking. That
Bastards.
That was a big surprise when I first arrived there, how much that parking costs. Did not have that money.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah, see, there you go. You'll need your master's degree for that. You just get parking. You won't get parking at Tisch either. of course, you don't need it. Well, thank you guys for joining me backstage.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm sorry we're out here at the dumpsters, but it's the best place to record. The acoustics are just right.
Yes.
All right. Well, best of luck, and we'll see you soon.
All right.
Adios.
Bye.
Adios.
How long it's been, I'm just Michael in the bathroom. Michael in the bathroom at a party. No, you can't come.